Blog Talk Radio.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
Big Day ThinkBigRadio.com listeners, Big here, your host tonight. We got a powerful interview on here, Maxwell Ivey, Excuses to Solutions for Firms Creating Impaired Services and Standards. He's going to cover a lot of things tonight, and I know you guys are ready for him. Max, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Ken. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good. Had a pretty eventful day for a Thursday. What about you?
Yeah, it's been pretty good here, too. The things haven't gotten completely back to normal, even though I live about an hour outside of Houston or so. But, you know, there's still food in the grocery stores, and people seem to be treating each other pretty good out here in the suburbs.
Okay, that's good to hear. You know, and before we really get started, I'd like for everyone to know how to contact you. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Okay, the best thing would be to go to theblindblogger.net. You can find me on Twitter at Maxwell Ivey. Facebook, I'm the Facebook page is The Blind Blogger. YouTube.com/Maxwell Ivey, and if they really want to get a hold of me, just tell them send me an email at justask@theblindblogger.net.
All right, great. Now, one of the things that we like to share after that contact information is to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, small family, large family, but you definitely gave us a hint as to where you're from and exactly what was going on last weekend in your area, which I'm glad that you were okay and things of that sort. But just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I am 51 years old, a totally blind gentleman. I have retinitis pigmentosa, or RP. Grew up in the Houston, Texas area in a family of carnival owners. My mom had 5 brothers and sisters on her side of the family. My dad has had 5 on his side of the family. So whether we were in South Carolina visiting or here in Texas, there was always lots of aunts and uncles and cousins around. And that was one of the best things about growing up at that time, because when you went to school, you didn't have to worry about seeing somebody in the playground, because just about every one of them was somebody you was related to.
Wow. That's a pretty big family.
Yeah.
Now, we want to, you know, part of the things that we're going to talk to tonight, the different topics here was, I'm going to take out the first three is get clear on what the goal is and what success looks like. Determine the steps that you need to take to get there, and then hold you accountable and motivated along the path. So for our listeners out there, for just to start touching on a couple of the topics, tell us a little bit about how you're going to help them achieve those big goals or dreams that they have deep down inside of them.
Right. Well, the first thing is to make sure it's your goal and your dream, and not what people around you are telling you is something you need to be doing, or what your family thinks you should be doing. Or even what you think because of where you grew up or what your family does that you need to be doing. I grew up in a family of carnival owners, and for a long time I thought that was all I was and all I was ever going to be. But when my dad died and our carnival went out of business, I had to find some other things to do, and I realized the more of those things I took on as challenges, the more I found inside me as far as skills and abilities. So I would tell people back then I would have seen myself in tunnel vision, and now, you know, everything's a big panorama, and It seems like, you know, every so often somebody else will come up and go, Max, have you thought about X? And now instead of telling them that I don't do it or can't do that, I'm like, well, maybe I could now decide whether or not it's something that would work for me, something I need to be doing. And as far as success goes, a lot of people have the idea that if they're not making millions or hundreds of thousands or thousands, if they're not driving the newest car, they're not being successful. But, you know, the thing is, what doing what you do, what is going to make you happy? What will you consider successful? And I like to think about with my writing. I never plan on writing a book. Now I'm about to finish my third one. With the first book, my goal was just to finish the book, get it published. I self-published it through Amazon and CreateSpace. Get it out there and actually have people be able to buy my book. You know, the second book, the goal was I want to sell at least 100 copies. Now with this next book, my goal is it's got such a good story to it, I want to have my first Amazon bestseller.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to decide what success looks like, and don't get sucked into that trap of trying to live like the Kardashians just because everybody else is trying to live like the Kardashians.
You know, I like a couple of the things that you brought out. The very first thing that you said was your dream, not theirs. And I think that is so important for a person to just, pretty much like you said, not think about what your relatives do, your friends do. You know, this has to be something that you want. And I think that they'll have a better chance. You also brought up what I really like was when you said people would say something to you, and instead of you saying now, oh, no, that's something I can't do, you don't think can't anymore. You think, well, let me look at the opportunity and see if it's something that I'm interested in doing. And setting the goals, especially for your next book, and just being determined.
Yeah, that's one of those things. It's easy. It's much easier to do the older you get, I believe.
Okay. All right. Now now I've got a whole bunch of different statements I can make from that. I want to hear why you think it's easier to do once you get older.
Well, I think it's so much more difficult to go against your parents or your relatives or your family traditions when you're a young person. The older you get, the more likely you are to get to that point where you're like, I've done what I'm supposed to do long enough. It's time to do what I want to do.
Wow. Now see, and what I was more so thinking along the lines were, when you get older, you kind of look back and say, wow, time has flown. I need to really just start focusing on some things.
Well, that's definitely true too. I mean, one of our most prolific inventors, one of the guys who made a big change in our lives, Steve Jobs. I personally think one of the reasons why he was able to accomplish so much is he knew the clock was ticking.
He knew that
cancer was chasing him. He knew cancer was coming for him.
You know what? And I wasn't even thinking about, because when we read their stories or listen to their stories, it's like we always go back to some kids in a garage. But then when things like that happen, you really have to put, you know, your foot down and make sure. I think you're working at your highest level when you have something dealing with time.
Yeah, one of my favorite songs is that song "Live Like You Were Dying," and it's got some great lyrics in there about how you do the important things and you do them with purpose and full focus when you know that there ain't a lot of time left.
Right. Now it's when we think about your website, and of course, you know, I've been on there, as we do with every show, theblindblogger.net. I was surprised when you reached out to us. And tell our audience a little bit about how you found us, how you reached out to us, and some of the things that we could do here on our show to implement to make it better for people who may be challenged.
Well, you know, I don't exactly remember what put your show's name in front of me. I do know that I was reading a bit about the show, and I thought to myself, it sounded like the kind of place that would be a good fit for me and my story, and that I'd get an opportunity to encourage some people. But me and you were talking the other day about accessibility and how more people need to be considered as far as how they build their websites and whether they make their websites accessible to people with all kinds of disabilities, not just vision, but poor hearing, people that are para or quadriplegics and have to use mechanical devices in order to manipulate a website. And I think that your website does a pretty good job. I think the blogtalk.com site does a pretty good job as far as accessibility. They do have one little quirk, but it has nothing to do with accessibility. It just has to do with the number of shows and the amount of content they have on that site that sometimes there's a bit of a drag between clicking a show link or clicking a social media link for a particular show and actually having the action take place. But,
okay.
You know, I'm not one
right.
of those people. I'm not one of those crazy people that if a site doesn't move in 3 seconds, I'm going to go somewhere else. You know,
I think we all have those issues. Like I'll tell people using Kodi, I'm like, turn it on and walk away. By the time you get back, it should be working.
When I started my first website, the Midway Marketplace, I had to hand code that website because at that time there was not an option where a blind person could create a website like there is now with WordPress and Drupal and Wix and GoDaddy. Back then, for people who don't really know the history of creating websites, you had two options. You could either hand code, which means you had to type line after line of code that, trust me, doesn't make sense to most people, but I was able to learn the basics through the W3C school. Your other option is what they called a WYSIWYG editor, which stood for what you see is what you get. Well, WYSIWYG does not work for a guy who can't see the darn screen. So for the first five years I hand coded every line, and I estimated once that I've written well over 2 million lines of code over that period of time.
Wow.
One line at a time. Now, it wasn't fancy. It wasn't pretty. The site itself wasn't really pretty, but you know, I'm one of these guys, as you know, I don't make excuses. I find solutions. And so I decided all the website had to do was be a place where people could see the equipment that was for sale. This was before I started putting myself out there as the blind blogger.
Right.
That all that had to do was be a place where people could see the stuff, because if they see it, they can want it, and if they want it, then maybe they'll buy it. So let me describe this website for you, Ken. It had a bright yellow background. It had navy blue text and brick red links. And if you click the link, the link turned from red to orange. And somebody once told me that Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder could have had an argument over this thing. It was so bright. I mean,
I'm just imagining it now. My eyes are hurting thinking about it.
Yeah. And then you throw in this in. Didn't really have a way to edit the photos. My brother, he would tell me which photos were good and which ones I should use first, second, and third. But a lot of times people would send me images of different sizes. And
oh,
I really
wow.
had no way to do anything. So I'm on a page on my website. Not only would you have those bright old colors, you might have two or three or four different size and shape photos all on the same screen together. I mean, it was bad. But I still sold equipment because I kept telling people, hey, you need to let me sell your stuff. And then I put their stuff up, and then I posted it on MySpace and then Facebook eventually. I sent out a lot of emails. I made a lot of phone calls. You know, I just accepted, hey, the website is as good as I can make it at this time, and me trying to make it better is not a good use of my time, energy, or my mental health, you know, because
right.
One of the things, well, you know, a lot of people get trapped in that stupid perfectionism loop. Well, there are, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the last few years who once they do one more thing to their website, it'll be perfect, and then they can start recruiting clients, or then they can start selling stuff, you know. I know you've done them. I know you've seen them before.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that about the perfectionist, because I think at one point or another, some of us have pretty much been that person. And I remember how it took me a while to say, you know what, if you've got some great content and you've got a bit of it together, 80% is fine. You can work on that 20% while you're still working, you know, to put it out there. And then what I learned is that I don't even think that there's a moment when you can really look at your creation or what you help bring through someone else's skill set, something that you'll say, it's 100% now, I can rest.
And you know what's even better, Ken? Most people that visit a site, they like to follow people who are growing and who are making improvements in their website. They like to be that guy who, you know, I found him before he was somebody. And I can remember when his website was just total junk. And I've seen it get better and better. And now, you know, this guy is killing the online world. And I know that there are people who have been following my progress for years now who are really, you know, really happy to see the progress that's been made. Now, am I happy with my websites? No. If you find a webmaster or a site owner who's happy with his website, there's something wrong with him. The difference is some of us let that unhappiness keep us from doing the work, and some don't.
Right. Yeah. You know, I want to I want you to share with the listener some of the small steps that you've taken. Like when you first stated how you were working in your uncle's carnival and you hated it, and then you started running an amusement equipment brokerage. I guess you started really doing a lot once you opened up to who you were on the inside. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, the first step, the big step, was when I finally got, I'm going to admit it, disgusted enough to say, this ain't working, it ain't never going to work, and I have to do something. What can I do today that will move me forward instead of just staying in this trap that I'm in? And the one thing I thought of I could do, which I did on September 29th of 2007, was I filed for the domain name MidwayMarketplace.com. I had no clue how I was going to build a website, but I knew it was something I needed to have. And actually, it was 5 months later before that website was online with anything for people to look at. So that was the first step. The next step, which I think was really important, was convincing my family that me continuing to be on the Midway just so they could say I was there was not serving anyone. And it wasn't until I finally said, hey, how many weeks this year did you have to take money out of the food stand to buy toys for my game, so that I could be out here and y'all could say he's out here working? I mean, and finally that was what did it. In November of that year, they let me go home. Me and my dog Penny, we stayed at the house all the time. Some weeks they were here, some weeks they weren't. And, you know, I lost my buddy Penny back in March. And I honestly think that if I hadn't had Penny there, I might not have won that argument. So, I'm going to really miss that crazy mutt. But yeah, that was another thing, convincing my family that my lifetime in the amusement industry was over and I needed to go full into this selling other people's rides and games and stuff. doing the W3C school tutorials and figuring out how to code my own website was, man, that was that was like a every day, if not four or five times a day, little things I was learning, you know, and trying them out and making them work and crashing my website and, you know, restoring my website. That was, you know, every day. Figuring out who I could get to actually have me list their equipment was something. But you know, I did social media. I created an email list back before I even knew what one was, and back before people started, you know, back before every guru and his brother said you have to have an email list, I was building email lists.
Because you know what? That's the funny part, is that it's common sense when you want to do something. When you sit down and think about it, you're like, okay, if I go this route right here, this makes the most sense, until you learn something that even makes more sense. You said before the gurus were talking about the email list, you were already doing it and wasn't even really calling it that.
Yeah, and you know, it was funny how, you know, that was another thing. I kept trying to get people in the industry to return my phone calls and my emails, and for a while none of them would talk to me. They're like, okay, kid, you're new at this. You've never done this before, and oh, by the way, you want us to give us 10% of our money if you sell our equipment for us when we can sell it other places for free. So I was working against the strong current there, and I finally sat down. I asked myself, what can I do for these people, or what can I offer these people that will have them actually open my emails? And it came to me: everybody that has a website wants traffic, and the way to get traffic is links. So I started offering people free text links on my website. I would go track them down. I'd find their information. I'd create the page on my site, and I'd send them an email and say, look, I just put this up for you on my website. It's going to help people find your website. Now, all you have to do to keep it here is to let me send you an email once a week telling you what I got going on. And so far, just about everybody I've ever asked that question of has said yes. I've got about 3,500 or 4,000 names on my email list worldwide. I may get 10 or 12 or 15 unsubscribes a year, you know, so that's, but you know, it was one of those things. It's still growing. And in fact, I'm actually considering hiring somebody to have them do nothing but help me expand the email list with more text links, because that information on my site helps people who might be searching for that information, which will bring them to the website. Mm-hmm. More traffic means my site pages would be more visible, which means when somebody's looking to buy or sell something, they'd be more likely to find me. So yeah, but it's one of the things. I really didn't even think about what I was doing when I was doing it. I was just, okay, what can I do today that will make this work better? You know, how can I help myself? And I'm like, hey, instead of sending out, you know, one email at a time, and even that's a good example. I couldn't figure out how to use those programs where you put all your information on their website and you send out an email from them. They call them autoresponders now.
Yeah.
They didn't have a word for them. They didn't have a word for them back, you know, 4 or 5, 6 years ago. There really wasn't a category for them. So what I decided to do is, okay, Max, you can't use one of them fancy programs. So I just used the BCC field in my mail program.
Yeah.
And I would copy.
Yeah.
And
you know,
as a matter of fact,
I've gotten those emails where I'm like, it's 1,000 people on the BCC list. Yeah, that's back in the day. You've been on, yeah.
But you know, it's just one of those things. If you want to make excuses, you can make excuses. You know, if you want to find a way, if you want to figure out just a way to get it done, you can get it done. Or as I like to tell people, life ain't the Olympics. They don't care about or award style points.
You can say not. They don't. Yeah, as long as you score. Well, you know what's funny is I forgot all about that, and I used to actually use those BCC lists to market Think Big Radio back in the day. So I would just copy all of the BCCs, and I had a Word document full of them. then I will put them on into a BCC and send everybody on those emails what was going on the show.
And those
are the things that, you know, back in the day, you have to think of things like, how can I market? But one of the things that I really want to point out that you mentioned was you had to create a way to add value on top of the value that you were providing. And that's why you went with the text messages for the for them to text message their links so people could find them. And I think a lot of times today we're so me-ish that we don't even know how to give people value to even build ourselves.
Yeah, it is. It's gotten better over the last few years. I've even seen some articles recently online where there are coaches who are going through burnout because they're giving away everything. Everything is free content, you know, content, audio, video, tech. And, so that's actually becoming the other side of the pendulum these days. But you're right. There are a lot of people who just don't know how to think of the other person and try to offer them value and use that value to build a relationship and work from there. You know, it's
Now, one of the things also that we have that apparently you were morbidly obese and had like 7 prescription meds that you were taking a day.
Yeah, I weighed 512 pounds on February 14th of 2012 when I had my first official weigh-in.
Now, let's make sure we know how tall you are at 5.
Well, I'm 6'4". But what I was going to say, what I was also going to say is my brother has a photo of me, and he keeps telling me he's going to give it to me, and I want it. I want this photo bad for my website, but he has yet to give it to me. He said this picture is me sitting at my Kitty High Striker game working. He said it looks like you weigh over 600 in this picture. So, yeah.
So
and,
how did you get back on track for what was the – because we know you just got real sick and tired of being sick and tired at the amusement park, at the carnival. And so how did this happen with the with you taking your health back as well?
Well, first it started with getting with a primary care doctor, getting with a good physician and being honest with her and, you know, talking about everything. And the first thing she told me is, you know, Max, I think you have sleep apnea, and I think you've had it for years, and I think it's a severe case. What would you think about having a sleep study and seeing if I'm right? And I said, okay, we'll do that. And it turned out, the doctor who reviewed the test with me said, you know, not only do you have a really bad case of sleep apnea, he said, I believe you're one of the few people who's probably been dealing with this since you were a teenager.
Wow.
And it got me to thinking, all those years people used to tell me I snored horribly and I would just ignore them and say, no, I don't want to know about it. I'm just, you know, I have to be honest and admit there are some days where I think, you know, Max, what would you be doing now if you had listened to those people and gotten your sleep apnea treated when you was 20 instead of when you was 40 something? So I am now one of these people who I talk to my doctor, I listen to my doctor, I don't lie to my doctor, I don't lie to myself. But they put me on a CPAP machine, which is where, you know, the machine pushes the compressed air into your lungs at night so you don't pass out while you're sleeping. And that gave me a lot more energy and a lot more clarity. So the changes in my physical and the changes in my business future were pretty much symbiotic, let's say. The one led to the other and then back to the other again. A few years later, the same doctor said, you know, Max, I know you're trying hard, but you're not making any progress with your weight. Would you go to a seminar and listen to what they have to say about having gastric surgery? So I went. It was hosted by the people at Texas Laparoscopic Consultants, TLC here in Houston. And they told me a couple of things that changed my mind on the whole situation. One was they said, you know, that only 50% of the people who have a procedure will lose 80 to 90% of the weight they need to and keep it off. The other thing they said was that nobody is successful with gastric surgery without having to put in work, without having to change their attitudes about food, their exercise routines. You know, I ended up having to swapping prescription meds for vitamin supplements, but there aren't any side effects to the vitamins. You know, I have to drink a lot more water and pay attention to portion size and when I eat and why I eat and things like that. It's not a quick fix thing. It's not one of those things like we were talking about with a website earlier. It's not one of those things where you get to a point where you say, I'm done. I'm never going to have to worry about this again. You know, so, and you know, the more I've lost weight, the more energy I have, the more optimistic I am about myself, the more open I am to opportunities. So I tell people, if you're a business person, you're starting that side hustle and you're sacrificing your health so you can start a business, then you need to look at your schedule really hard and see if there isn't some other way you can get this business thing going without sacrificing sleep or the quality of your diet or your exercise routine, because those things are just as important in your daily schedule as the meeting with the boss or trying to get somebody to hire you as a coach or, you know, buy your products and services.
That's beautiful. Can you get out your contact information once more for the people who are listening so that they'll be able to write that down and also be able to reach you?
Sure. It's theblindblogger.net. They can email me, justask@theblindblogger.net. On Twitter, I'm @MaxwellIvy. And facebook.com/theblindblogger for my Facebook page. And when I give out my email address, I chose that email address because I really do want people to contact me. I'm not one of these people you have to have a reason to contact me. If there's a question you've always wanted to ask a blind guy, if there's something you're curious about how I do this stuff online, you know, if you just need a friend and you're like, he sounds like a cool dude, I would like to email him. Well, that's why I give it out, because hey, you in this life, you never know where the next really good friend, opportunity, idea is going to come from. And if you close people out because you don't think you can make a buck off of them, how many opportunities are you passing on?
Those are some wise words right there. Now, Max, we do have a number of people who've been listening for a while. It's customary on Think Big Radio. Sometimes they don't know to hit the one and the pound sign to raise their hand. But what I like to do is give out the area code and the first three numbers. So just in case they want to make a comment or just in case they have a question, they can ask. So 813 area code 300, you're on the air. And if you have a question or a comment, you can proceed. If not, I'll move to the next person. 813-300. State your name and where you're from if you'd like to talk for a second.
My name is Deborica, and I'm representing Tampa, Florida.
Oh, great, Deborica. Thanks for joining us here on Think Big Radio. Did you have anything to ask or to make a statement about Mr. Ivy here?
I would definitely agree where you said it is hard in the market with value. You want to give something, but you don't want to give the milk and the cow. And when other coaches or other professionals are giving the milk, the cow, the hay, and they're driving you there, you're kind of like, okay, you're kind of messing up the marketplace for everyone else. So I definitely I understand your inspiration.
I appreciate
it. From Florida.
I actually had a little bit of trouble with that myself. One of the things that I have found out that I'm good at is getting people booked on radio shows and podcasts. And people would email me and go, Max, how do you do it? And I would reply to them. I'd send them this long email telling them a lot of the stuff that I do. And finally, my good friend from Oregon, Michael Babcock, he said, Max, you can't keep giving all this stuff away. He said, you need to give them a little bit of it away. He said, if you want to give all this stuff away, you need to create an online course, because then at least you'll make them sign up to an email list or give you a few dollars or something. So it's a difficult balancing act, because we all want the attention we want to get the traffic to our websites. We want to get people thinking about hiring us. But like she said, if you give away the cow, the milk, the hay, and drive them to the barn, you're in trouble.
I like that
expression. Thank you, Deborah.
Okay, so we have another listener here at a 704 area code. 756 is the first three. I have 704, 756. If you have a question, please state your name and where you're from, and you can proceed. Okay, that may just be someone who wants to just hear the show, so we get that every now and then. So 704-756, I'm going to put you back in the queue to listen, and thanks for listening. Okay, the next number I have here is 704-615. If you'd like to have a question or a statement that you'd like to make, just please state your name, where you're from, and proceed. That's 704-615.
Hello, are you there?
Okay, so they're just going to listen. There's always just a couple of seconds before it reaches the people that are listening. Sometimes we'll always try to wait. For our listeners, we'd like to also thank you for listening. And if you have an Apple phone or if you have an Android phone, please make sure you visit their respective Play Stores and put in Think Big Radio. You'll be able to get our app. You'll be able to hear this interview. You'll also be able to listen to any of the interviews that we've had in the past. Now, Max, I know normally our shows are about 30 minutes, but you share so much with us, and I know there's still a lot more that you can share, but is there any last things that you want to leave with our guests and any thank yous?
Well, yeah, of course, I want to thank you for having me on the show and for putting in the work that you do, and also congratulate you on the fact that this is going to be your 10th year of having at least one show on the radio. I'm very, very impressed. Congratulations on that accomplishment.
Thank you. I forgot all about it. I'm not... Oh, yeah, appreciate that.
No, man, you can't pass them milestones by. You gotta celebrate them puppies. The other person I'd like to thank, a couple of them actually, is one is Adrian Smith, who I refer to as my blogging mama because she taught me about building relationships online and the right way to do this stuff as a blogger. And the other is Lorraine Regulie at wordingwell.com, who has been the editor on both my books and is helping me hopefully finish the third book so it'll be out in time for people to have it for Christmas. So those are the two people I would want to thank. And as far as one thing I can tell people is that I have these four questions I like to use. They've served me pretty well. One is if you can do it, if you're trying to achieve a goal, make a list of everything you think you're going to need to do along the way. And then divide it up into these categories. One, if you can do it, go ahead and take action immediately. Go ahead and do it right this minute. Don't think about it or talk about it. Two, if you can't do it, can you learn how to do it? And if there is a way for you to learn it, then, you know, you take the steps to take the course or find the mentor, et cetera. Three, if you can't do it and you can't learn it, can you get somebody to do it for you? That might mean hiring somebody or getting a friend or an intern or a volunteer, or even just reaching out online to other people who have done it, what you're doing. So, and fourth, if you can do it, find if you can't do it, you can't learn it, and you can't get somebody else to do it, then put it off to the side and just try to put it out of your mind, because if you focus on the things you have some influence over, you won't have time to worry about those few things that you can't do anything about it right this minute. And the good thing is as long as you're taking those steps every day, next month or 3 months from now or next year, some of those things in that fourth category you can't do now, you'd be able to move over into one of them other slots.
We definitely thank you for those words of wisdom at the end of the show. We also thank you for coming on the show and how you found us through one of the many different networks that we're advertised on. And we definitely would like to have you back once you get that other book out to talk about specifically about that book. And, hey, keep thinking big. Keep doing the things that you're doing. And you're part of our Think Big Radio family now.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be part of such a good family, and I'll definitely come back on when the book is ready. And just so you'll know, it'll be a perfect fit for this show because we're calling it The Blind Blogger's New York City Adventure and How You Too Can Chase Your Dreams. That's the title of the next book.
Great. Yeah, so we can't wait. All you guys out there, thanks again for tuning in to thinkbigradio.com. Of course, you can find the archive versions just by going to thinkbigradio.com. Listen now. You'll see the Listen Now link. You can find us on any of the websites. You will be able to find a link to Maxwell Ivey's show and any of the other ones. Don't forget, guys, make sure you download that app. And thanks for thinking big.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.